Let's go ahead and turn our attention to the scripture today, because that's what we get together to do. We are in Exodus chapter 29, and right smack in the middle of the description of God to Moses about the ordination ceremony for Aaron to become high priest and his four boys to become the supporting priests that will serve as the mediators between him, between God and the people of Israel, and between Israel and God. Now, the ordination ceremony, in a nutshell, consists of washing the priest candidates and then putting the brand new clothing on them, the new uniforms on them, anointing them with the oil and anointing them with blood in symbolic fashion. They are offering sacrifices. The big bull is offered as a burnt offering. All of it gets burned up, either on the altar or in a place outside the compound. Then the first ram, it is ceremonially cut up and washed, and then it pretty much all gets burned up on the altar. It is God's portion of this ordination dinner. Then the second ram, it is cut up, and certain portions of it are burned in honor of God, and then the rest of it is going to be divided up between Moses, who is functioning as the officiating priest in this ceremony, and Aaron and his sons, and apparently their families. I think we'll get a little bit of this as well. So right there in Exodus 29, verse 26, we pick up the description of this second ram and how it's divvied up. Verse 26 says, "You shall take the breast of the ram of Aaron's ordination and wave it for a wave offering before he who is, and it shall be your portion." So Moses is going to eat some of that chest area of the ram that he is helping to use as an ordination sacrifice on this day. Verse 27, "You shall consecrate the breast of the wave offering that is waved and the thigh of the priest's offering that is contributed from the ram of the ordination for what was from what was Aaron's and his sons. It shall be for Aaron and his sons as a perpetual due from the people of Israel, for it is a contribution. It shall be a contribution from the people of Israel for their peace offerings, their contribution to he who is." So what's being established here is that from now on, every sacrifice offered by the people of Israel, the chest, the right chest area, and apparently the right thigh, are automatically going to go to the officiating priests as sacrifices are offered. Now, we're not talking about a sin sacrifice. That's a different thing. When we get into the book of Leviticus, we'll talk about the details of this. But when a peace offering, a voluntary offering, is sacrificed, the worshiper gets the majority of the meat to share with his family and friends. But the priests always get their cuts, and their cut will be the breast and the thigh. And that's all established on this initial day of ordination. Verse number 29. "The holy garments of Aaron shall be for his sons after him. They shall be anointed in them and ordained in them." So when we go from one high priest to the next high priest, the uniform passes from one to the other. That will be part of the ceremony of ordination of a new priest or a new high priest. Verse 30, "The son who succeeds him as priest, who comes into the tent of the meeting to minister in the holy place, shall wear them 7 days. So the ceremony is going to require the high priest to spend 7 days dressed in this uniform as he begins his service. Now, after that initial 7 days is finished, he will only put it on for those times when he is officiating over a special ceremony. Verse number 31, back to the food. You shall take the ram of ordination and boil its flesh in a holy place. So it's apparently not roasted, it's boiled. Verse 32, and Aaron and his son shall eat the flesh of the ram and the bread that is in the basket in the entrance of the tent of meeting. So they're supposed to be having their dinner at the entrance to the tent of meeting, which we've been presuming, I think, that it's right there at the front of the shrine building. But I remind you again that the entrance could be a reference to the front gate to the tabernacle complex, which is also as a whole called the tent of meeting. Verse 33, they shall eat those things with which atonement was made at their ordination and consecration, but an outsider shall not eat of them because they are holy. And if any of the flesh for the ordination or of the bread remain until morning, then you shall burn the remainder with fire. It shall not be eaten because it is holy. So this has got a very specific purpose. Once that purpose is finished, the leftovers are burned. They must not be kept for another purpose. It's part of the training that when something is holy, it is used for its purpose, nothing else. Verse 35, thus you shall do to Aaron and to his sons according to all that I've commanded you. Through 7 days you shall ordain them. So ordination ceremony for the Jewish priests was 7 days in length. Every day you shall offer a bull as a sin offering for atonement. So we go through the initial sacrifices of a bull where they laid their hands on it and then it's sacrificed. The horns of the altar are smeared with the blood. The rest is poured out at the base of the altar, and then the bull is chopped up into specific pieces, some of them offered on the altar of sacrifice, the rest burned elsewhere outside of the complex of the tabernacle. So that happens every day. And 7 days, verse 37, you shall make atonement for the altar and consecrate it, and the altar shall be most holy. Whatever touches the altar shall become holy. So this is a reminder that the altar is also going to be dedicated. Verse 38. Now this is what you shall offer on the altar. 2 lambs a year old, day by day, regularly. 1 lamb you shall offer in the morning. The other lamb you shall offer at twilight or between the evenings. So this is what we are thinking about when we talk about the 2 daily sacrifices in the temple or tabernacle. It is a year-old lamb, mid-morning, we'd basically call it about 9 a.m., and another lamb, both of them perfect, both of them a year old, in the afternoon, about 3 p.m. So this helps divide the day up into components of dedication to God. So you get up in the morning and you're thankful to God for the beginning of your day. Then the Israeli people would gather together mid-morning, remind themselves that they are serving God by offering this sacrifice. Middle of the day, you've got the switch over between morning and afternoon. You then come to the mid-afternoon point. Everybody takes a pause. Everybody thinks that this sacrifice is now being offered on our behalf because we have a relationship with God. And then that takes you into the remaining portion of your day that ends with the sun going down and you're thanking God for the full day that you've just enjoyed. So this is a very important daily function for the Jewish people. There have only been a few times in their history that it did not take place. When the first temple was destroyed because of the sins of Israel, it went for about 70 years that it wasn't offered. And then when the second temple, the temple renovated by Herod, was destroyed in AD 70, it hasn't been offered since then. And from a New Testament perspective, from a New Covenant perspective, it doesn't need to be offered again because Jesus is the Lamb that bore our sins and paid the price. And it's interesting that Jesus was put on the cross at the exact same time that the morning sacrifice was being offered. And he died on the cross at the exact same time that the afternoon sacrifice was offered. And I think that was intentional on God's behalf, or God's part, to make sure that Jesus was representing this two-part daily ceremony of sacrifice for sin. I almost forgot, there was one other time in Israeli history where these sacrifices were not offered, and that was during the time of the Maccabees. We're talking about the 2nd century BC, when Antiochus IV stopped the daily sacrifices in the temple. And it was Judas Maccabee and his heroic fellows that got it restarted 3 years later. And that's actually the basis for the Hanukkah holiday that happens every December, because that's when the sacrifices were stopped and then 3 years later started again. Great story. If you're not familiar with it, you should check it out. So this lamb is offered not just by itself, but with other items. Verse number 40. With the first lamb, a tenth seah of fine flour mingled with a fourth of hin of beaten oil and a fourth of a hin of wine for a drink offering. We're not talking about an awful lot of liquid involved in this. So basically, a little bit of flour mixed up with oil and wine. And this becomes the agricultural portion of the sacrifice at the morning and afternoon times of sacrifice. Verse 41, the other lamb you shall offer at twilight, or mid-afternoon is what we're talking about, and shall offer with it a grain offering and its drink offering, and as in the morning, for a pleasing aroma, a food offering to he who is. It shall be a regular burnt offering throughout your generations at the entrance of the tent of meeting before he who is, where I will meet with you to speak to you there. And there I will meet with the people of Israel, and it shall be sanctified by my glory. I will consecrate the tent of meeting and the altar. Aaron also and his sons I will consecrate to serve me as priests. So God is talking to Moses ahead of time about all of this. These ceremonies are going to take place at the beginning of the next year, near the time of the anniversary of the Exodus, when the first day of the first month of the second year of the Exodus begins. That's when they're going to start putting together the tabernacle and dedicating it and dressing Aaron and the priests in the way that they're supposed to, and ordaining them and inaugurating the tabernacle. So that's quite a few months yet into the future. But God is talking to Moses ahead of time about this and saying, when you do all of that, my glory, my presence is going to come into this tabernacle. and you will see it and know beyond a shadow of a doubt that that's what's happening. And then verse 45 says, I will dwell among the people of Israel and will be their God. And they shall know that I am He who is their God, who brought them out of the land of Egypt that I might dwell with them. I am He who is their God. So God is reminding Moses, the purpose of this tabernacle is to provide a very clear sight where the Israelis will know, I am with them. Now, this is going to be important as they travel through the wilderness. It's going to be especially important since they will be delayed because of sin. And so they need to see the glory presence of God hanging over this tabernacle where they will be coming and worshiping on a very regular basis to show that they are tied in with God. And He will lead them to the promised land. The next thing that we have to read about is tied into the daily sacrifice offerings, and that is the incense altar. Because the incense altar is going to be where incense is burned and prayers are offered at the exact same moment that the lambs are being sacrificed on the great big sacrificial altar out front, morning and afternoon. So now we get around to talking about this piece of holy furniture. Chapter 30, verse 1. You shall make an altar on which to burn incense. You shall make it of acacia wood. And pretty much everything that we've talked about, the base is acacia wood because it's a very durable wood and easily available to them. A cubit shall be its length, and a cubit its breadth. So we're talking about the square of the top going right down as the footprint of this item. And so a cubit, the cubit that I'm using is the long cubit, so that is 20.7 inches. So we're talking about a foot and 8.7 inches in square at the top. And two cubits shall be its height. And so that would be 3 feet, 5.4 inches. So it would come up past the waist as the person was standing there. Its horns shall be of one piece with it. So it also has little decorative horns on the corners. You shall overlay it with pure gold, its top and around its sides and its horns, and you shall make a molding of gold around it. So like everything else on the interior portion of this sanctuary building, we've got gold covering of the wood. And some portions are solid gold or beaten gold. This molding that goes around the top is kind of like a retainer wall that keeps the coals that will be used to ignite the incense in place on the top of the altar. And like everything else that we've talked about, it has to be portable. Verse 4, you shall make two golden rings for it under its moldings on two opposite sides of it. You shall make them, and they shall be holders for poles with which to carry it. You shall make the poles of acacia wood and overlay them with gold. And you shall put it in front of the veil that is above the Ark of the Testimony, in front of the mercy seat that is above the testimony where I will meet you. The altar of incense in the book of Hebrews is actually associated by that author who is Jewish and who seems to have a good familiarity with priestly things. The altar of prayer or incense altar is associated in his writings with the most holy place. And here it seems as if it is sitting just on the outside of the veil that separates the holy place from the most holy place. So this altar seems to be on the border between the two rooms. And if I am correct in the arrangement of the tabernacle as it was set up, it would appear to me that the Ark of the Covenant was first put into the most holy place, and its carrying poles were always left in position. And since they are on the short side of the Ark, then they are going to be sticking out into the holy place where the priests do their work, and kind of holding back the curtain that divides the holy place from the most holy place. They'll be kind of draped over the poles as they're sticking out. And I believe that this burning incense altar is then tucked in between those two poles that are sticking out from the ark, and right at the dividing point between the two portions of the building, right underneath that peak of where the curtains are kind of draped down from above, but being kept to the side by the ark's poles remaining in place. Now, once it's in place, the poles for this furniture seem to be removed, so that it is just sitting there between the poles of the ark. And I hope that that description can kind of get in your head. I'd love someone to help me make a 3D representation of all these things, because that would be so much more helpful to point people to. Now, what's it supposed to be used for? Verse 7. Aaron shall burn fragrant incense on it. Every morning when he dresses the lamps, he shall burn it. So it is a prayer altar, and incense represents prayer because it billows up in this cloud that goes up to the sky. And so that's the symbolism. Book of Revelation actually tells us that the prayers of the saints are the incense in the symbolism there. Now, he is going to come into the holy place every day to make sure that the lamps have fresh oil and fresh wicks. And apparently he's doing that right before the middle of the morning, when the sacrifices are altered and are offered on the altar out front, and when the incense is burned in the morning, right around 9 a.m. And then he's going to do the same thing in the afternoon. It says, when Aaron sets up the lamps at twilight, he shall burn it, a regular incense offering before he who is throughout your generations. And so this is associating the altar, the prayer altar, with both the Ark of the Covenant and the Most Holy Place, and the lamp and even the table and the altar out front, which are associated with the holy place where the priests do their work. So this is really kind of the bridge item between the two. And that's really what prayer is. It's the bridge between us, the people of God, and God himself. Verse 9, you shall not offer unauthorized incense on it, or a burnt offering, or a grain offering. You shall not pour a drink offering on it. So it's only for incense. And the fire that is used on it has to be fueled by coals from the sacrificial altar out front. And that fire was going to be inaugurated first by God. And this is the reason why the two oldest sons of Aaron are going to get into big trouble, because they will try to offer incense, breaking this rule. That only authorized incense using authorized fire was to be done in the tabernacle. Well, we're out of time again for this day and for this week. I hope you have a great weekend and a great Lord's Day. We'll talk again on Monday.